Hey, Danny, how you doing, man?
Yeah, bitch! Woo!
That one went a bit off the rails there. Eh?
Yeah, it was less about Rick and Morty. That was more about just being abrasive.
Yeah, exactly. I'm well, Lewis. How are you?
I am well, thank you. It is insanely hot today. I mean, I say it's insanely hot. I'm a pasty Englishman who lives in the Midlands. Insanely hot is like 12 degrees. But I feel really hot, so, you know, that's good.
Yeah, quite right, quite right. Well, we are here to talk about one of our favourite shows, mm-hmm. which is, Lewis...
Rick and also Better Morty. Call He's there Saul. Too.
Oh, okay.
I've made notes for Rick and... Have you made notes for Better Call Saul?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Oh. Well, we'll have to answer each other's CRQs in a very convoluted way.
Yeah. I bet I can guess what happened in Rick and Morty.
Can you now?
I bet it was dead dark and there was a... It all meant nothing at the end. Bet that was it.
Yeah, essentially, that's exactly what happened.
Fuck. I'm only joking. Yes. I'm only joking. I've got... How'd you go in there? Oh, you gullible bastard. But have you got an opening statement?
I do, yes. A harrowing tale dressed as a teachable moment. I feel genuinely horrified.
Excellent. Oh my god, all of that pain and suffering because Rick was made fun of. What a mindfuck. I loved it.
Excellent stuff. Well, we're going to make a seamless transition now. Ready for the seamlessness of it? And there we are. We're in CRQs. That was the seamless transition. How do I do it? How does he do it, ladies and gents?
I couldn't even tell. I was like, whoa, oh. That was shocking.
Anyway, any drama in your CRQs section? I've got a few nice bits, a few nice bobs. I did like this episode. As with all the best episodes of Rick and Morty, it's like unrealistic. It's horrifically dark. That's exactly what it is. It's just horribly dark.
Well, this is a bold statement I'm about to make, but I think this might be my favourite episode in the entire show.
Controversial statement.
Yeah.
What makes you say that? What makes it better than all the others?
I just the roller coaster that we went on. I mean, it's like the amount of pain that Morty goes through is entirely because Rick can't handle getting made fun of and his ideas, you know, being called shit. And it's like your grandson through that for the sake of oh, I was right, it is a good idea. Absolutely horrific.
It really made me laugh. I mean, don't get me wrong, this vat of acid concept, it's like all of Rick and Morty seems to be on some level a play on the rest of science fiction, fantasy, whatever, but like, how many times have you seen a vat of acid in a film? Because I'll bet it's in double digits. There have been lots of vats of acid in fiction. But, like, you start to consider that and you think, well, number one, in what situation would you need a vat of acid? Number two, why wouldn't you put a lid on it? It's another one. It's kind of ridiculous. It's just all absurd.
Well, it was the sort of big... stereotypical thing that created superheroes, wasn't it? They would fall in and then they would gain superpowers. The Joker fell into it and became the Joker. I mean, it was a very sort of big thing in the last century for superhero things.
And of course, the Joker might ask somebody, will you die for me? And they'll say yes. And then he'll go, no, that's too easy. Will you live for me? That's what he'll do.
Fucking hell, yeah. And then that person will jump in like a lunatic and he'll just sort of stand and then turn around and go and then jump in after, and we're meant to be like, oh my god, he loves her so much.
Yeah, so that's what Rick and Morty did this episode.
Jump in acid. Oh god. And the bones float to the top and the god. Two of them are underneath just sort of going
I loved how sort of dispassionate Rick was about leaping into acid. It's just like, yeah, oh, well, I'll just have to jump into this acid then. And it didn't even put on a show for the others. I loved some of the lines in this. What am I, an acidologist? It just made me laugh. It's ridiculous. Oh,
it's just it's the fact that the criminals have Rick has prepared for every eventuality. I'm going to put this ladle in.
And it's have a ladle on them, just ready to go.
Yeah. The funny thing is, they're in there for hours, and Rick could have just killed them immediately without any hesitation. Yeah, it's like, okay, that's it. I'm giving up my night, and we're calling in a bone scientist, and Morty just loses it. It's like, oh my god, for fuck's sake!
Oh god. That is, it's just, yeah. I love the representations of sort of anger in Rick and Morty. Like, I steamrolled right over you there. I'm really sorry, but Morty getting angry is always hilarious, and Rick getting angry and furiously welding together the save point device. It's like, yeah, I'm fucking making it. It just really made me laugh.
He knows what Morty's doing. It's like,
yeah, it's reverse psychology, Morty. And
then Morty's just like, you can't do it, you can't do it. He's like, you're a piece of shit! He's just screaming the face off him.
Sorry, go on.
Fucking hell, steamrolled again. Jeez. No, go on, go on. Steam right over me.
I was going to say it's ridiculous how Rick sort of yells at his grandchildren with very little activation energy to get there. Just starts screaming at his grandchildren.
I mean, he's proved mathematically that they're both pieces of shit before. I mean, so...
Oh, God.
I can prove it mathematically.
Oh, God.
See when they made the thing, I thought it was time travel. And I thought they were just sort of ignoring that. I was like, wait a minute, that is time travel? And then when it got to the end of the episode and Rick was like, oh, no. There was consequence. It was just a million Mortys created and just dying for a...
Oh, God. It's horrifying. Like, infinite Mortys forever dying. Oh, my God. By the way, did you notice in the montage of Morty doing stuff, there was this one part where Morty was in front of a fake Moe's from The Simpsons? Like, you know, Moe's Tavern from The Simpsons. Yeah. How it's got, like, that sort of purple front, and it's got the sort of, I think they're, like, green and orange, the windows. There's, like, this sort of lattice pattern. Let me Google it. Moe's Tavern. And it was the bit where, it's, like, the sort of purpley-grey type fronting with these orange and green windows and the sort of red door with the porthole in it. And Morty was, like, at the traffic lights. Is that one where he was pushed, where he got behind the wheelchair and threw the man into the road? It was that one. The sort of setting behind them was like a fake Moe's Tavern. Like, it had the same window and door and everything. And I just very briefly noticed it and went, oh shit, that's really cool, and just quickly wrote it down. But yeah,
it never even occurred to me. Funnily enough, I was busy focused on the man getting thrown into the road in the wheelchair. While the man's getting tossed into traffic, Lewis is like, oh, there's a Moe's Tavern. Oh, isn't that lovely? Normally it's me that's like, oh, Moe's Tavern. Wait a minute, there's a guy getting... No, Moe's Tavern, that's what I want to talk about.
I've got a question, actually, about this episode. When Morty gets, like, lost in what I presume is the Himalayas or the Rockies or something like that, and this starts eating his friends and all this horrible stuff, Rick doesn't go to find Morty. Is that entirely just because of the vat of acid thing? Is this just because...
I mean, maybe there's a timeline where Morty died and a timeline where Morty didn't, and that's...
Mm.
So I actually don't know. He must have known.
I don't know if
that was
in the same timeline or...
It's all hell confusing. It's all hell confusing, but we've seen Rick give up his life to save Morty, so it's like I think he must have known that Morty was going to survive, or maybe even sent the helicopter himself. You know, it's like he sent the authorities. Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe. Maybe Rick was like, okay, he's been left to stew for long enough now. And then he sent whoever it is up to the Rockies and said, there you go, be there.
Yeah.
I've got a question. Did you take a look at the signs that the furious mob was holding when they got to Rick and Morty's house?
Some of them.
Yes, well, one of them said, return the whales? And I would like to know, what did Morty do with the whales? What did he do to them or with them? Where are they now?
He stole Shamu. he went into... where is Shamu kept? I don't know.
SeaWorld, isn't it? And she's kept in like horrific conditions. Shamu, the SeaWorld show. Shamu was she's dead. Okay.
Oh fuck.
Oh Christ, that's not good.
Oh, that's dreadful. Oh, that is dreadful. God. Oh, we have just. Oh God, I feel as if we've dug up a grave. Oh fucking hell.
Oh crikey.
We've just. This is the darkest podcast we've ever done.
It's a bit. Shamu was originally a whale, and that Shamu, and the original whale, has died. Yes, and then she became a human. No, it's the stage name of several subsequent orcas. It's the name of the show, and I think they refer to the whale as Shamu, regardless of whether it's the original Shamu. Yeah, Shamu is the name used for several SeaWorld orca shows and is the stage name given to the star of those shows.
That is shocking.
Shamu is not a great
name to...
Yeah, it seems a bit. Are you trying to cover up the death of the original Shamu? Is that the goal?
Do you know what I think it is, Lewis?
What?
I think it's like a Doctor Who thing.
It's like... right.
One whale dies and like Shamu lives on as another whale, but it's nowhere near as emotional as Doctor Who. I think it's just these people know that the word Shamu is very popular, so if they stopped using it they probably wouldn't get as many visitors, so I think it's just them lining their fucking pockets.
I mean, I'd like to say on the record, I'm pretty sure SeaWorld are horrific. Like I'm fairly sure I don't endorse SeaWorld. They are terrible. They're a terrible company. I think not only do they keep their animals in bad conditions, I'm pretty sure they like pollute horribly and loads of stuff.
Unless they promote the podcast, in which case they're great.
Oh God! I mean, I like to think I wouldn't sell out on my principles that easily. I genuinely don't know, but I'd like to think I wouldn't.
Yeah, we all would like to think that, Lewis, but unfortunately.
Oh, God.
We have principles, right? Until we've got money, essentially. That's right. The way of the world, Lewis.
I suppose it is. Anyway,
and I know you're feeling a crushing sense of awkwardness right now, but it's important to be honest with these people. It's oh, I'm talking shite. I'm sorry.
Anyway, Rick in this episode had a line. Every Rick has a vat. So does that mean that every Rick has a vat of acid in the sense of, like, is that event happened to every Rick? Or is a similar thing happened to different Ricks? What are other things that could have happened to the Ricks?
Well, I mean, I think it's just saying that it's the infinite suffering that we thought was there. It's just been multiplied by infinity. It's like just another sort of just another way of making it even more horrific than it already is. So not only is Morty and Rick went through this, every single Rick possibly has done
God,
this, which means that there are quintillions upon billions of trillions of whatever Morty's going through the exact same thing at the exact same moment. I mean, it's horrible.
It is extremely horrible. Crikey.
It's so dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's so horrible that it's making me very sleepy. Very sleepy.
I'm sorry, I'm always sleepy. But anyway, I genuinely think, because obviously the plane stuff was horrific. Like, you watch the plane land, and then you watch Morty and his girlfriend and the other survivors, like, end up eating other passengers and stuff like that, and it's obviously it's insanely horrific. But then it's even more horrific when you realise it's all happened an infinite amount of times.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just horrible. This is just such a dark episode. I don't think I ever want to watch this episode again.
Do you know what it's like? It's like an extreme version of Up. You know, the opening to Up.
Yeah. It's you ever just seen like Up? An extreme version. Yes, I've seen Up.
Oh, it's such a good film.
Mm-hmm.
Just, but
all the Pixar
films
are fantastic.
Well, I wasn't too
fond of Cars. I've
forgotten
what Pixar films now. I like Cars. I think it stands a few rewatches. I think it's not their best. Of all the films they've made, I don't think it's the best one, but I do like their films. Coco. Coco was so good. I cried so much over Coco.
I liked Coco.
I love Ratatouille. I think that's a super underappreciated film. I love Ratatouille.
Monsters, Inc. as well.
Yeah, Finding Nemo. What's not to love about Finding Nemo?
Exactly. You know, the fact that they made another one.
Oh, The Incredibles! I love The Incredibles! Oh. The Incredibles 2, they were both fantastic! We need to do Incredibles, they're so good!
See what I've done? See, I've opened another can of worms. We've got so much to do already. Why would I do this to myself?
Well, the thing is, we'll just be infinitely making podcasts for the rest of time. We'll have more stuff to do.
It's like just infinite Morty's dying, infinite podcasts talking about it. I like the fact that they critique themselves, and it's like they're talking about ideas, and Rick goes, "Oh yeah, like when I was a pickle, or what about that mind blowing thing that you did? Oh, the dragon episode. Oh, so memorable." And it's funny because it wasn't very good in like reception and like. Mm. It had very low viewing figures for like the rest of the show, and they're just taking the piss out of Morty for having a badly rated episode. I mean, it's fucking hilarious.
It's breaking like the fifth wall. Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's that's the thing though. When you look at like different sitcoms and different dramas, you're watching an episode. Like last night, my wife and I were watching The Crown. And it sort of became obvious this was going to be an episode about Prince Philip. And my wife went, "Oh God, this is a Philip episode, isn't it?" And I was like, "Yeah, it's a Philip episode." And it's crazy to think about. That's like sort of a widely accepted thing in like dramas, sitcoms, everything. Watching an episode of Family Guy, and occasionally they'll say, "Yeah, this is a Lois episode. You might want to switch this one off," or whatever it'll be. And like... You do look back at Rick and Morty and you're like, yeah, there are Morty episodes and there are Rick episodes, and the Rick episodes are the ones that stand out in your mind, like Pickle Rick.
Yeah. But, and then they'll do like maybe a Beth episode or Jerry episode.
Yeah, like the
Jerry
a Whirly Dirly Conspiracy.
Was good.
Yeah, I like the Whirly Dirly Conspiracy. What are the other ones? I can't think of any.
Is
that the only
one? Beth's one is at the end of season 3, just before the last episode.
Oh yeah, with the parallel world or whatever it is, with the chalk.
Froopy Land or something.
Froopy Land. God, that was such. I liked that a lot because it's like.
So did I.
I think in my mind that does what good sci-fi does, and it explores a complex concept while dressing it up in a very bizarre way. I think that's what's good about sci-fi.
I'm Charles Manson because I gave you your own world to play with instead of an iPad.
Oh God, that is. Imagine here's the question: if you had that parallel world of, I mean, this is not at all to do with Rick and Morty season 4 episode 8, but instead we're going to talk about the other episode. If you had like a piece of chalk or whatever it is in the Froopy Land, what would you do with it? obviously, as a kid, you might use it to play, like Rick, who is now your dad, like your Rick dad suggests, you might use it to play. And as you grow up, what would you use it for?
Storing the bodies of my victims.
Right.
No, I don't know.
I mean, the answer is probably something as pedestrian. It probably is something dull and pedestrian. Like, well, hell, I like to think I'd use it for catching up on. Like, you like to think you'd use it for some kind of grand purpose, but in reality,
sorry,
do you know what I mean? It might just be storage.
Storing bodies is dull and pedestrian.
No, I was saying storing like boxes of crap from your attic. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I could. Yeah, but. Yeah, I'd probably do something like that, or I'd build a house there, or I'd, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Send some contractors in. Can you build a house in there for me, please?
Yeah, send in some. Just watch society start again, and then inevitably, when it, you know, develops suitable technology, I will step in as the dictator of this world. And
right. You are the god of this world. That's how you treat it, yeah.
And there would be no more rom-coms. There would be no more happiness. There would be only misery.
Only sadness.
And there will be blood and salted popcorn and what else? And everyone was designated a paper at birth. And if they lost it, they would be executed.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a very fun place for everyone else, but I'd enjoy it.
No, it wouldn't. It'd be horrific. That sounds like a hellscape.
The cotton candy setting would just make it all the more funny. It's like all this horrendous torture's going on.
This barbaric dystopia, yeah.
Rainbow river. Oh, amazing. That's what I'd be doing. What would you do, Lewis?
Well, I don't know after that. Christ. I mean, I'd like to think that it's like, I don't know, it's like the ultimate way to get away from your life, isn't it? So,
yeah.
I don't know, I suppose you'd... That's the weird thing, is because anything that you think of, it's like, oh, well, I'd go on holiday, the ultimate getaway. It's like, yeah, but there's something in the back of my brain that's like, yeah, but you could monetize it. You could put something in there and mark it on Airbnb. Do you know what I mean? Or mark it on HostGator and build a lodge in there with a hot tub. Do you know what I mean?
Fuck's sake, Lewis, you and your capitalist mind again.
Yeah, well, I'm just such a raging capitalist, we all know this. No,
SeaWorld. First SeaWorld and now this.
First SeaWorld. We just talked about Shamu the whale.
Yeah, fair enough. That's a good idea, though. I mean, you could, sort of make it almost like Mars. SpaceX, people a lot of money, or you could use it to help the disadvantaged.
In fact, yeah, that's a way better idea. Use it to help the disadvantaged.
Yeah,
build homes in there for people to live in if they need to, or like some kind of like a farm or something to like, because that's something people talk about sometimes. It's like, oh, we haven't got enough farmland. Well, now you have infinite farmland.
He's backtracking now, folks. He's backtracking.
He's reconsidering has had new ideas.
I'll still charge them though. I'll still charge them.
I'll charge an extortionately high rent to use my farmland. That's £100 a second, please. Is that okay with you?
I'd love that. I'd love to have my own world to do with as I pleased. You know, that'd be great.
Better get to work on that then, haven't you?
What's I know, I'll
Rick
start...
Rick says collapsing a quantum singularity. Yeah.
A quantum tesseract or something like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Something like that. Meaningless sci-fi garble. Sorry.
It's one of the things that becomes very obvious when you rewatch Star Trek. It's not so obvious on the first, watch through, because you're sort of watching the story. Then your second watch through, you're like, sorry... Did any of those words that Geordi just said mean anything at all? And the answer is always no, they did not. They meant nothing.
Yep. Same with Doctor Who. It's like, just you can fix that chameleon circuit if you supersede the binary links and So what the fuck are you talking about, pal? That's what I'd be saying if I was in the TARDIS with a doctor and he started saying that, or she started saying that, and I'd just be like, what are you on about? What?
Oh god, this has been another. We've made two podcasts this week, and they've both been weird ones.
They have. I mean, do you know what it is? Do you know what I think it is, Lewis?
What?
I don't know.
It's a lockdown finally getting to us.
I think we're getting old. I think that's what it is.
We're getting old. We're like 20. We're not getting old.
I know, but I found a grey hair in my head the other day.
Right.
And so that's it.
I'm not sure how to help you with. Yes, you're now old, Danny. That's how that works.
That's me in the downward slope. Now I have got 10 years left at best.
God, what a dark episode of the podcast. We've recorded two episodes this week, and they have both been insanely weird. Like the other one, we ended up talking more about this fictional, theoretical Lord of the Rings reality than we did about the actual film. And this one's just been really fucking dark. Jesus.
I don't know what's. We're grinding our wheels in the mud, Lewis. We need to get back to what we used to do.
Talk very seriously about films.
But fuck it. Why? Now that I'm thinking about it, why? What? Yeah, let's sit for 3 hours and talk about how depressing humanity. You know, I'd love to do that, Lewis, but it just doesn't. No one wants to hear that. No one wants to hear
it.
It's
very true. Mm-hmm.
They want weirdness. They want unpredictability, and most of all, they want us to laugh about our hypocrisy.
Well, we are massive hypocrites. This is completely true.
Of course we are. Of course we are.
Yeah.
I have another note.
Okay, hit me.
Fuck you, Jerry. Oh my god. Just his massive stupid face going into that bag and just going boop. It would just click.
Oh god, yeah.
You would think
when you find something that is clearly not seen,
you would think after everything you've seen, you would see something in a bag and you'd be like, oh, maybe I shouldn't just randomly click this. I'll ask what it is and then I'll give it a push. No, just and just Morty's face is his oh god, and he's like, help, I love you, mama. You can't really hear what they're saying because the music's over it, but you know, it's enough to make you just feel physically sick. Oh god,
it is. It's horrifying how it's essentially the entire thing didn't happen because of an accident, because Jerry's an idiot and looked in the bag and thought, well, this could be a remote, even though it's clearly not a remote control for anything, that for the TV or anything. It's ridiculous.
Do you think, right, if you had a device that you could just sort of save your last point and just do something and then, you know, go back to it, would you annoy the fuck out of every single group on the planet?
No, I probably wouldn't. I'd probably, like, I mean, well, this is something I've always thought about things like Groundhog Day, is when Bill Murray gets out of Groundhog Day, the only logical next step is to immediately kill himself. Because, like, I think that would just fuck you up too much for the rest of your life. I think to have that, it's like what Morty says, living consequence-free is no life at all. It's such a horrible, it's such a horrible existence to live so consequence-free. So I'd say, I probably just would never use it, you know? I might use it once or twice to be like, oh yeah, this is cool. Or like, you know what I mean? Eat tea again or something. I was like, oh yeah, I really enjoyed that food. Let me eat it again. Or whatever. And it's like, yeah, maybe. But I think after that, I'd start thinking about what the possible consequences would be and think, it's easier to just seal this in concrete and drop it into the ocean. Do you know what I mean? I'd rather do that.
Yeah. I mean, I'd use it quite often.
For what?
I don't know.
Right.
I'd find something. I think it's only something that you could really say that you would do if you had it. Do you know what I mean? Because I'm sure everyone would like to believe that they just sort of, you know, oh, we're just, no, who cares? You know, we're just I wouldn't do it. But I think that if you had it, I think you a would. Lot of people would be like, yeah, because we're flawed creatures, you know. We're gonna do some things if we think we can get away with it.
Sure.
Oh shit!
What's up?
This has been a weird episode because we haven't said the title. We haven't said who wrote it. We haven't said who directed it. And we haven't said who's fucking in it. Okay, we'll do that now at the end of the episode.
Okay. That's how credits work. This is perfectly fine, I think.
Yeah, I mean, let's just break the continuity of all the episodes that we've done so far. This episode is called the Vat of Acid episode. And it was written by Jeff Loveness and Albro... Lundy, and it was directed by Jacob Hare, and it's starring Justin Roiland and some other people.
Right, yep, Justin Roiland and some other people.
Justin Roiland and friends. What a weird episode this has been.
Have you got a closing statement for the weirdest episode we've ever done?
Yeah, we've dropped the ball in this one, man.
We have a bit, yeah. We need to try a bit harder for the next one.
Yeah. I was drinking last night. No, this may be my favourite episode in the entire show so far. So dark and horrific and yet hilarious. Fantastic comedy and sci-fi.
I'm sort of the other end of the thing. Is this harrowing, teaching, or both? I don't think I ever want to watch it again to find out. It's just horrifying. It's just horrible, you know?
Yeah.
It has that I loved it. Yeah, I mean, I understand that. Don't get me wrong. It's about, like... I think for me, people talk about watching horror films because they like to be scared. I think for me, it's about the feeling exhilarated by reading horror, watching horror, things like that. I think this didn't make me feel exhilarated like a horror it made me laugh, obviously, because it's hilarious. But I'm in no hurry to watch this one again. I don't think. I think if it comes up, I wouldn't turn it off. But on the same level, I'm not going to seek it out. It just makes me have this very existential moment again and again and again about, well, what is the nature of life? Why am I here? What is the point?
Yeah. Should we let SeaWorld promote us?
Oh God, no, we fucking shouldn't. Christ.
All the big questions. Okay, yes. Wait, fine. We'll say no to SeaWorld. Okay, fine.
Okay.
Jesus.
Right. Have we got some shilling to do then, Dan?
Yep. We are sponsored by SeaWorld. No.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I forgot some shilling to do. Yep. Oh, crikey. Right, go on.
Yes. I am on Instagram at Ohiram. I'm on Facebook at Daniel K. Actor. I'm on Twitter at Kerzo2000. What are you on, Lewis?
On Instagram at Lewis_Brindley, Twitter at LewisBrindley4, and I have a Facebook page called Lewis Brindley, which is my name. The podcast is hosted by Podomatic. We are on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, which is a new thing. We're on that. Oh. I got a notification saying, this is a new thing, do you want to be on it? And I said, yeah, alright. So we're on that now, which is good. We're on Deezer, we're on YouTube. Go and check out our YouTube channel. We've got a little nice little community going over there. It's really lovely. Go and check it out.
It's beautiful. We have a PayPal donate button. We're on Patreon, and we'd like to take this opportunity to thank our lovely, lovely patrons, Chloe, Darius, Sophie, Peter, and of course Aditya. So thank you guys for your support. You make this possible.
Indeed, you are all extremely good eggs.
Yes, excellent eggs.
Excellent eggs. And, superb eggs.
and we're partnered with a lovely company called Number 12 Crochet Avenue, and Lewis is better at plugging this one than I am.
Well, thank you. Number 12 Crochet Avenue is a superb business run by my amazing wife. She crochets, and she is incredibly good at it. So good at it, in fact, that it is like some kind of magic is happening when she does it. We had a new shipment of yarn in yesterday, because she is going to be making the Good Egg Eggs, which are a reward for our top-tier patrons, little Good Egg key rings, and they are absolutely superb, going to be absolutely adorable. I can't wait to... for her to make them, and we can share them out there in the world. But she is absolutely amazing. Her Instagram is at number 12 Crochet Avenue. The Instagram is beautiful. Her work is beautiful. She is beautiful, but I am biased. I would recommend going and checking her out. She does amazing work.
Wow. That was poetry. Pure poetry, Lewis.
Well, you know
pure
me.
Pure poetry. We also have merch. Merch.
Do we have merch,
merchy.
Don't we?
Merchy, we
merch,
do,
merch,
and
merch.
I'm gonna give it a go this week, right?
Okay, yes.
Lewis.
Yes, yes, Daniel.
Are you ever shit? Are you ever cold?
Sometimes I am. Yes.
Right. What, are you ever in need of clothes?
Yes, constantly. I go outside naked and people just scream.
Wow. Well, we've got the stuff for you. We've got a t-shirt. We've got t-shirts.
Yep.
We've got
t-shirts.
Jumpers. We've got mugs.
I do like drinking things. Yep.
I forgot that one. We're on teespring.com, and it's a...
Good lord, this is not a smooth ad. But yeah, we've got loads of merch, loads of good stuff. We've got mugs and clothes and stickers and badges and loads of stuff. We've got some stuff on Teespring, some stuff on Redbubble. The links will be in the description or the show notes or however you're listening to this, they'll be there. Oh, crikey.
Oh,
I think that's everything then, Cocker. That might be the end of this bizarre episode.
Yeah, I think it is. Yep, we've done everything we need to do.
Okay, thanks for listening very much to this bizarre episode. Please listen to the next one. We promise it won't be as weird as this.
Well, we can't really promise that, can we?
No, but I mean, to imagine
we can only hope. We can only have our fingers crossed, you know?
Yes, fingers crossed it won't be as bizarre as this.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening, and we shall hear you, smell you, lick you. Fight you next time.
Yes, we'll see you then for Rick and Morty 409.
See you later.
It's
been a weird one. We do
this is
really tiring
episode.
Now.
Boring.
Meet the dead horse.